This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Five people are dead, including two children, and hundreds had to be evacuated from their homes after a semi-truck carrying several thousand gallons of anhydrous ammonia crashed on U.S. Route 40 Friday night. It happened near Teutopolis, a village just a few miles east of Effingham in central Illinois. For the rest of our program today, we want to take some time to make sense of what happened and hopefully provide some context to put the weekend's events into a broader perspective. And for that, we are joined now by Matt Hart, who is Executive Director of the Illinois Trucking Association. Matt, welcome to the 21st Show.
Good morning. Happy to be here with your listeners.
Thank you for being on with us. Elliot Clay is with us also. He's Land Use Programs Director with the Illinois Environmental Council. Elliot, welcome to you as well.
Hey, thank you, Brian. I appreciate being here.
And Cole Hanke is Capital Bureau Chief for Nexstar TV stations in Illinois, including WCIA TV. Cole, welcome back to the show. Thank you for being with us as well.
Yeah, Brian, thanks for having me on.
Listeners, our time is going to be tight, but for the next 14 minutes or so, we'll be talking about this. 800-222-9455. If you have a question, what do you want to know about Friday night's truck crash? Or maybe you even know somebody who had to be evacuated. 800-222-9455 is the number. All right, Cole, briefly, can you just run us through what exactly happened Friday night as best as we understand it now?
Well, it was a very interesting, you know, exercise in breaking news with all of this, because the truck crash happened around, you know, that 8:30 p.m., 9 p.m. range, and information was coming out quickly, but also slowly. It was hard to understand exactly what was going on, and basically what happened was there was a truck going on Route 40 that runs directly through the heart of Teutopolis. The truck had been diverted off of I-70. Where there was a accident already on the interstate, and the truck ended up crashing, and it was punctured. It had all of that anhydrous ammonia in it, and it resulted in a literal cloud of the poisonous gas just sitting over this town. And it was, emergency crews from across the state were responding for hours just to get that initial area cleared out and evacuated, and also get the leak under control. And eventually it just started to come through exactly what was happening, but it really took hours before it was even safe to go near that area and really get the boots on the ground reporting.
Matt, from the Trucking Association, how common or uncommon are crashes like this involving trucks carrying toxic substances, hazardous substances?
Well, it's unfortunate, but anytime that you do have transportation systems where you have humans, you know, driving our vehicles, there's human error. And unfortunately, things like this, they do happen. We do everything we can to avert them. You know, the professional truck drivers that we have out today have even more training that's been required than in the past. They go through drug and alcohol testing, much more testing than the automobile drivers have. But it's an environment where you have commerce operating next side of consumers. And unfortunately, you know, this did happen on Friday night. It's happened before. I don't know how often it happens, but, it does happen. And the events on Friday certainly are tragic. And our hearts go out to the lives that were lost on Friday.
Elliot Clay with the Illinois Environmental Council, I want to bring you in now. This truck was leaking anhydrous ammonia. Can you talk about what that substance is used for and what effect it can have on people?
Yes. Anhydrous ammonia is a fertilizer that's commonly used throughout the Midwest. It's commonly applied right after harvest and sometimes during the spring. So there's a very good chance that if you're out in rural Illinois, you will see these tanks going up and down rural roads throughout the state. This is used really primarily to provide nitrogen to plants as they're being either planted or getting ready to plant. This stuff is used particularly during the fall because it helps nitrogen stick in the soil. So when they plant in the spring, it's there. This can be, as what we've seen here, is particularly dangerous. It's caustic from what I understand. So besides the fact that it can really inhibit breathing, which I believe is probably what happened, unfortunately, in this instance, and it can also burn your eyes and skin as well, which I believe is why it took responders so long to get near this, because even with breathing equipment, even just exposure to skin can be very dangerous.
Well, that's a good point. And Cole, maybe I can ask you about that. So the Effingham County Sheriff told reporters on Saturday the air conditioners were terribly dangerous after the crash. Talk about how that affected the emergency response.
Well, we actually heard from the Totopolis volunteer fire chief. It was a volunteer fire department down there. They were responding for hours on this, and they immediately answered the call. They knew there was a tanker crash. They didn't understand the extent of the leak, or even if there was a leak originally. They had heard there was a plume. As soon as these firefighters arrived on the scene, they tried to get close, and they said it was like a wall. You just all of a sudden knew you were standing in it, and they had to immediately retreat. And they were pulled out of it because they, you know, did not have the hazmat or proper, you know, gas mask equipment that they needed to even get near this leak or start to really get to the inside of this cloud that they were dealing with. And it was really interesting to talk about because you like they were saying, you get the you get hit by it, and all of a sudden you feel it in your chest already. You start to sting a little bit, and luckily there were no emergency or first responders injured in the response to this. There was a they were able to get back out and get the proper equipment and go back in. But from there, it was just they went house to house in that area. They were clearing people out. They were diverting them to certain places that were safe havens, sometimes in the town, sometimes not. And people were just encouraged to try to find family members around. But even people, as they were evacuating their homes, they walked outside, they opened their front doors, and they could just tell that, you know, the air was different. And it was from people I talked to, they said it was a really terrifying experience.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about the truck crash near Effingham late Friday night. Five people were killed. The truck was loaded with a toxic substance called anhydrous ammonia. It's used in agriculture as a fertilizer. It overturned. It leaked some of that gas. Several hundred people had to be evacuated, although they were allowed to return to their homes Saturday evening. We're talking about all this with Cole Henke, who is a reporter, Capitol Bureau Chief with WCIA-TV, and also Elliot Clay of the Illinois Environmental Council, and Matt Hart with the Illinois Trucking Association. Matt, talk about what sort of safety measures are in place when a truck is carrying something like this substance, like the gas that leaked after this crash.
Yeah, so all of these tanks that are going up and down the highway, they have a very high standard that they have to meet. There's a lot of anhydrous, as Elliot pointed out, it's harvest season in Illinois. This is being transported all over Illinois, all over the Midwest, really all over the country. So the tanks that are used have a, you know, very high standard for what they must meet. It's our understanding that, you know, what happened here is you had an instance where an automobile driver was trying to pass, at least the AP is reporting that this morning. And from our indications, it looks like it may have been that the truck diverted off of the roadway to avoid another accident. Unfortunately just hit something else that punctured that tank. And you know, the tanks aren't, you know, they aren't bulletproof, they aren't, you know, but they are certainly met, they're built with a higher standard to eliminate things like this. This is just one instance of a kind of a freak incident where there was a penetration of the tank that did happen.
You know, that's a good point, Matt. Let's talk a little bit about passenger vehicles, four-wheelers, right, as truckers sometimes refer to them, at least those of us old enough to remember the CB era. I'm sure many of us have had that experience of being stuck behind a truck on a rural road, limited passing opportunities. You know, I have my doubts about a mass outbreak of Zen-like patience among drivers, so I wonder what are some of the tips you have? What are some of the potential safety fixes, right? I don't know, infrastructure or technology, or do we just have to learn to live with this?
Yeah, well, I always remind people, because we're always thinking about ourselves and our cars, and we just want to get home. And by the way, everybody deserves to get home safely. And so what we like to remind automobile drivers is, when you see a truck that's on the highway, there are no trucks that are joyriding. That truck is out there because somebody wants something, somebody needs something. Somebody, you know, whether we're delivering medicine or we're delivering clothes or we're delivering groceries, the only reason trucks are on the highway is because we're delivering your stuff. And so what we always advise automobile drivers is, when you're out there sharing the road with your stuff, give your stuff a little more space. You know, certainly don't try to pass if you're not going to be able to pass, you know, pass a truck. I know this was a two-lane highway, and it's a truck route. It's US 40. But it's still, you know, highways are dangerous situations. And we always advise, especially when you're driving around trucks, give them space, give them time, you know, because anything can happen. And you always want to allow extra time, you know, when you're navigating around a truck, because everybody deserves to get home safely.
Elliot Clay with the Environmental Council. What sort of long-term concerns are there after an incident like this, right? Whether for the environment sort of itself or for the people who live in the environment where this happened?
Well, I think it brings up a couple different points. I mean, once anhydrous dissipates in the atmosphere, I think it's fairly innocuous. It's, you know, I think the situation down there is controlled. But I think it sparks a bigger conversation about a couple things, one of which is if we want to prevent incidents like this from happening again, specifically with anhydrous ammonia, the best thing we can do is just decrease the use of this product. And I think, you know, improving soil health in the state is a way to do that by changing farming practices that reduce the need for synthetic fertilizers in general, including anhydrous ammonia. The other flip side of this, and I think this is a bigger national conversation, is around general safety guidelines on the transportation of hazardous materials. The train derailment that happened in Ohio, for instance, recently, I think woke people up to the fact that, you know, every day we are living adjacent to heavy roadways and railways that are transporting some pretty dangerous stuff. And maybe it's just we need increased public awareness of what to do in these situations. But a review generally of the, you know, safety precautions around transportation of these materials, I think is probably warranted just to make sure that we're doing all we can.
Cole Hanke, as you've been reporting on this, what are you going to be watching for next with this story?
Well, the big development from Sunday, federal officials actually came into town. The National Transportation and Safety Board came in. They gave us a look at exactly what their investigation and what their report might entail going forward. It'll be quite a while until we see that report, but they're going to be looking at exactly what Elliot was just talking about, the safety standards, what caused this crash, and what could potentially be altered to prevent something like this from happening again. And Brian, we've, you know, WCIA has reported on this for a little bit now throughout the summer, just the ongoing conversation around traffic in that I-70 corridor there right near Effingham. Going forward, there was a lot of frustration down there because while Route 40 is a highway, it is often not, it doesn't see as much of that traffic as it has been over the past few months due to just extensive construction that's happening down there. And I said it earlier in the show, there was an accident on I-70 in the construction zone, which led to traffic being redirected. And it just leads a lot of these trucks like this, you know, carrying all sorts of different things, just going straight through the Chautauquas area there. And when I was on the ground, I was talking to people, and that was one of the first things they kept bringing up, was just that they had been seeing constant traffic and diversions from I-70. So it'll be interesting to hear how that discussion goes forward, because the, you know, people down there have already been talking about this, and now it's even more at the forefront of their mind along with this disaster.
Cole Hanke with WCIA-TV, as well as Matt Hart with the Illinois Trucking Association, and Elliot Clay from the Illinois Environmental Council. Thank you all so much for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you, Brian.
Thanks.
Thank you, Brian.
And that is all the time we have for our program today. Coming up tomorrow, there may not have been a government shutdown in Washington, but as we mentioned earlier, the Farm Bill, the legislation that sets funding and policy for programs like crop insurance and food stamps, it's been allowed to expire with a new bill potentially months away. We're going to talk about what that means for farmers, as well as for people who rely on that Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP benefits, food stamps from the federal government. That's coming up tomorrow on the 21st Show. We love hearing what you think about what we've been talking about and your suggestions for future conversations. The number to call to leave a voicemail for us is 217-300-2121. That's 217-300-2121. Or you can email talk@21stshow.org. talk@21stshow.org. Every other way to contact us is on our website, again, 21stshow.org. While you're there, you can find a link to our podcast, or just look us up on Spotify or Apple, wherever you listen, search for The 21st Show. The 21st Show is produced by Christine Hatfield, Kennedy Vincent, and Jose Zepeda. Our intern is Nick Boyvin. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thank you for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.